Welcome to Ordinary Fellowship, a podcast inspired by the Puritan practice of godly conference, or spiritual conversations among believers. These spiritual conversations offer practical spiritual help for Christian living. I'm Jeremy Lee, and with me is Matthew McLaughlin.
Hello, Jeremy.
Of course, he's my co-host and also my friend.
That's good to know. Because you know, there are people on podcasts who wouldn't say they're friends.
Yes, I guess so. So I was wondering, do you want to let us know your thoughts on the Black Widow movie?
You already know my thoughts on the Black Widow movie.
Matthew, one of these days you're going to have to watch the Marvel movies.
Watching them, possibly. Having thoughts on them, that's another story.
You can't avoid having thoughts if you watch it.
True. Being invested in the MCU probably won't happen.
Okay.
But you can keep trying.
Well, you have seen Lord of the Rings, right?
Yes, I have.
Okay, then we won't worry about that.
Okay.
So, today we're not going to talk about the Black Widow movie or any of the other Marvel movies. We're going to talk about something more exciting. End times speculations. This past year and a half has been crazy with conspiracy theories, whether it's COVID or political issues like the election and things like that. Conspiracy theories have gone crazy of late, in spite of Facebook's attempts to quash them. Conspiracy theories have gone crazy, but then they're multiplied, in my humble opinion, made even worse by them being added to end times speculation. And what we're talking about today isn't differences of opinion over the timing of Christ's coming. You know, we're not talking about amillennialism versus premillennialism. Or dispensationalism versus postmillennialism or something like that. We're talking about those who listen to so-called prophecy experts, try to match up what's happening in the newspaper to prophetic portions of Scripture and trying to predict the coming of Christ. So that's what we're discussing, and this is really wrong-headed to be trying to predict the second coming of Christ. If for no other reason, if there was no other passage of Scripture that says anything about this, Jesus himself says, "But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father." Now, Jesus knows now because he's glorified Son of God in heaven. But as he was the Messiah on earth, as he was incarnate, he didn't know the timing of his coming. So it's not one of the things he has revealed to us in any way. So we can't, if we say anything beyond Jesus' returning, then we're probably running into trouble because Jesus hasn't revealed it to us. Now, some folks believe in prophetic dreams and things like that still. So we don't believe in that those things are still relevant for today. We believe that the Scripture is sufficient for all we need, and we don't need those kind of supernatural gifts. I don't want to get off on that. But there are people who do that kind of thing. The really worrisome ones are the Baptists who don't believe in these spiritual gifts, yet are still speculating about the nearness of Christ's coming and all those kind of things. So, and Matthew and I, both coming from an independent Baptist background, are very familiar with these things.
Yes,
because it's like the bread and butter.
Yes.
if the pastor announces a sermon on Revelation or prophecy or a prophecy conference, you can be sure people will attend every night because they want to hear all the latest news.
Yes. So. Yeah. When I was in school, the one class that filled up faster than any other class was the prophecy class.
Yeah. Thankfully, I didn't have a prophecy class.
I didn't have a prophecy class, but they offered one. And it filled up real fast. But yeah. But just one other quick note. If you did want to kind of understand the millennial issue better, you can go back and listen to the podcast we did last season on, or earlier this year, I can't remember which one, we did an episode on the millennial issue, so you can go back and look through our past episodes and you can find it there and understand it.
So there were several things that opened my eyes to the dangers of these speculations and what happens with them. One was, I might have told the story before, but I watched Jack Van Impe. Jack Van Impe is one of these guys who, I don't know if he's still on, but if he's alive, I guarantee he's still on TV and he's still predicting when Jesus is going to return in spite of what scripture tells him to do. But I became a Christian in 1993. It wasn't long after that, maybe a year or so, that I saw Jack Van Impe on TV, started watching. I wasn't an avid listener. I kind of thought him and his wife were weird. but he was talking about the end times, when Jesus is going to come back, trying to show the signs that point to Jesus' soon return. So in 2000 was like five or six years away. And at that time, he was selling a video called 2000, The Edge of Eternity. And he wasn't saying Jesus is going to come back in 2000, but he was saying it's probably going to happen around 2000 sometimes. And the whole Y2K crisis became an occasion for end-time speculation. It was a complete and utter dud. Nothing happened. But it fueled that speculation, and that's why, you know, this was going to set up everything for the Mark of the Beast and so forth. And so Jack Van Impe was teaching all these things. And then I didn't watch him for a long time. And then sometime in the 2000s, when Jesus hadn't returned yet, according to Jack Van Impe's predictions, he was selling another video that was I don't remember the name of the video, but it was predicting around 2012 that Jesus was going to return. And it's 2021, so you can see that Jack Van Impe was wrong. But if he's still alive and capable, he's on TV preaching these same things. They revise the information, go right back at it, and do the same thing again, never acknowledging the fact that they've been wrong every time since. And preach these things. And now you see these on Facebook. I remember when the guy from Family Radio, Harold Camping, was predicting the second coming of Jesus. People were going crazy about that. The end of the Mayan calendar was also supposedly a sign of the end and things like that. So all these things, they're always wrong. And but they never acknowledge they're wrong. They just continue on, put new characters into the prophetic timetable and scenario, and proceed on trying to sell videos and things like that to gullible people who are willing to buy it. The other thing that really opened my eyes to this stuff is I don't think this magazine exists anymore, but there used to be a tabloid magazine, maybe it wasn't the Star. It wasn't about celebrities and things like that, but it was about paranormal activity and things like that. And they always had something about the second coming of Christ. And some of the headlines of these stories were the same as the supposed prophetic books in Christian bookstores. That got me thinking that this is really strange that a non-Christian magazine devoted to paranormal type things like the existence of aliens and all that was having headlines that sounded like the title of a Christian book. That something didn't sit right with me about that. And I started really thinking that these end-time speculators who were Christians were just basically tabloid. They were just tabloid books, really. I don't know if it was those kind of people that were interested in it, but it really made me suspicious of all these predictions and things like that. So that and it's hard for me to understand how people can fall for these things, because to me it seemed so evident that they're just changing it. And, you know, 10 years ago they were preaching that this is what the Bible says. 10 years later, they're preaching something entirely different and saying this is what the Bible says. It didn't make sense to me. If the Bible said it, then it wasn't going to change 10 years later, or 5 years later, as the case is. There's other things I could say as well, but this really got me away from that type of thinking about end times and stuff like that. But unfortunately, if you can publish a book on these kind of things, and you will likely be a bestseller. You can preach a sermon series and you probably get lots of people there. There's still a lot of interest in these speculative ideas that don't come from Scripture or are loosely based on Scripture, and people just eat it up. For whatever reasons. And they use the same conspiracy theories that secular people who don't even believe the Bible believe. But they use it to say Jesus is coming back again. And it's really unfortunate. Because ultimately, we'll talk more about this later. Ultimately, I think this end time speculation is a distraction from what our real mission is, that is spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. This only fills our mind with supposed knowledge, and encourages panic. And to me, it was always scary to me.
Right.
But these people seem to think it's great and exciting. So,
yeah,
I don't understand that attitude. It seems scary to me, but that was the case.
Yeah.
Did you have anything to share, Matthew?
I would just think as we think this through as we begin, and you laid out the facts well, I think one of the things for us to take into mind is, for whatever reason, we as humans have the desire to always know what we don't know. We want to know fanciful facts. We want to figure out what we don't know. It's the reason why tarot card readers and psychics and all of these things. End time speculation fits into the same box. It's just this desire to know. And the thing that I really struggle with is, as a Christian, I have been given God's word, and God reveals who he is in there. It's everything I need. It says in 2 Peter that God has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. And so, for me to go chase after things that I don't know, when there's so much in Scripture that I have the ability to know if I spend the time with it, I think it just demonstrates how our priorities have gotten ajar, ultimately leading to where we'll end up this conversation, what Jeremy just said, in that therefore we focus on these things, and honestly we sit and we argue about them, and we fight about them, and we think about them, and we do all this other stuff, and we chase them down, and meanwhile, the revealed truth that God has given to us, we completely ignore because we're too busy trying to figure out all of this speculative stuff that clearly we won't know the answer to. There's a verse in Deuteronomy that basically says that the secret things belong to the Lord. I think we would do well to remember that, and to remember that there is what we need to know. God has told us. He has told us everything that we need to know. And so if we don't know it, then, in God's sovereign providence and wisdom, it's because we don't need to know that. But the verse finishes in Deuteronomy 29, and verse 29 says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Honestly, as we continue this conversation, I think all of us would do well to remember that verse, that we would do the things that are written in the law, the what God has given us, what God has revealed to us. But the truth is, sadly, we don't do that, and it shows up in a myriad of ways. And one of the ways is the way what we're talking about today, which is this end-time speculation.
Yeah. You said, I don't remember exactly how you said it, but you said something about that this end-time speculation is kind of the same as tarot card readings and things like that, because we're really interested in knowing the future. And that's important. And the passage you read from Deuteronomy is great as well, because there are the Old Testament, I can't think of the passages or I'd be quoting them, but the Old Testament gives a proper way of knowing God's will. Mm-hmm. Well, the New Testament does as well. But there are improper ways of knowing God's will. And, you know, tarot cards are an improper way of knowing God's will. That's why you weren't allowed to talk to necromancers or things like that in the Old Testament. People wanted to know what God's will was, even at that time, beyond what God had revealed, and they would use illegitimate means to do so, because they so wanted to know the future. You're exactly right. This is exactly what's happening with this end time speculation. God has not revealed these things to us. Would I like to know them? Sure.
Right.
And you would too.
Yeah.
But the point we're making is God hasn't revealed them. So if we're trying to stretch beyond what God has revealed, and it's illegitimate, we've got to be devoted to the things that God has revealed. And again, this is getting back to the overall point I want to make, that what God has revealed is we're to be preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. Mm-hmm. And that is our task. That is our mission. Not trying to figure out the mark of the beast, who the Antichrist is, or the general time frame, or the exact day that Jesus is going to return. We're specifically warned about doing those things. And I thought I had this passage looked up already, and I could quote it, but I can't find it. But there's a passage in Luke where Jesus is being questioned about his second coming. And he warns the people in that many are going to come and say that I'm the Messiah, or that he is near. And Jesus says, don't listen to them. I know I've said this before, but it bears repeating. If somebody came to your church and said, I'm the Messiah, I want to preach, even if you're into these end time speculations, you would say, no, you're not the Messiah, you're not going to speak. And you would run him out. You wouldn't believe a word he's saying. But if someone came to your church and said, the Messiah is near, he's coming again, and he's coming again soon, you'd sign him up for a prophecy conference to stay for a week in order to explain how we know Jesus is coming soon.
Right.
But Jesus warned us in that passage that both of these are things we need to avoid, that they're not from God. If God didn't reveal it to Jesus Christ or his apostles, he's not going to reveal it to you. No matter how much you study or how much in depth you look in the scriptures, no matter how often you listen to the news from Israel, you are not going to figure it out. You are going to be wrong. In the history of the church, there have been hundreds of thousands, I would guess, of people who have predicted the second coming of Jesus Christ. And you know what they all have in common? every single one of them was wrong. And guess what? You're going to be wrong too if you're trying to predict when Jesus is going to return. Now, did you have anything to say? Because I'm going on a rant.
No, I understand. I think it's good that you said that the way you said it. There's nothing wrong with if a guy comes to your church and wants to preach that Jesus is coming back. Well, good. But the problem is when we throw in the word soon. Soon's the problem. If you start preaching that you know the date, then we've got a problem.
Right.
But let's be completely pragmatic about this. Let's say somebody actually knows the date. They won't, but let's say they do. What good does it do me to know the date if it doesn't affect and change what I'm going to do? Nothing. So therefore, yeah. And here's the thing. God's already told me what I'm supposed to do, whether I know the date or not. So I might gain some this knowledge, but if the knowledge doesn't change how my behavior and how I act, then it does me no good. Because let's be honest. If I'm into trying to find this out, when I find this out, if I found this out, which Jesus promises I won't, but if for some reason I would, my assumption may be wrong, but my assumption would tell me is there's something else they're going to go seeking to try to find. It's not going to affect their behavior to go back to do what God's called them to do. And so that's another reason why it's wrong and why Jesus warns about it, because it's so easy for us to get distracted from God's revealed will in His Word, and it keeps us from doing what He's called us to do, and therein lies the problem.
Well, it's a problem even if we weren't distracted, because it's not true, but it is a problem.
Right. Correct.
Because we're distracted as well.
You're right.
Because truth matters.
Yes.
So, one of the things that happens, you know, I quoted that verse earlier where Jesus says no one knows the day or the hour, and then someone who is predicting Jesus coming will say, yeah, I don't know the day. I don't know the exact time of the day that He's coming, but I can give the general season or even the year. For example, Hal Lindsey in the 70s predicted that Jesus was going to return in 1988. Now, if you look at his book, there's nowhere that he says, I think Jesus is going to return in 1988. But what he does is he says 1948 was when Israel was established as a nation. He concludes that Jesus' words in Matthew 24, where it says this generation will not pass away until they see this all fulfilled, he assumes that generation is that. And then he says that a generation is 40 years. So if 1948 is the beginning and the generation is 40, he's predicted that Jesus is coming back in 1988. So, and I hope you all know that he didn't come back in 1988.
Because if he did, we have a problem.
Yeah. So Jesus didn't come back in 1988. There was, I can't remember the guy's name, but he wrote a book called 88 Reasons Why Jesus is Going to Return in 88. Of course, when 1989 came, he said, oops, I made a mistake in my calculations, and wrote another book, 89 Reasons Why Jesus is Coming Back in 89. In 1990, apparently, he gave up, thankfully, because usually these guys would just revise their books and republish it again with the new information, like Jack Van Impe does all the time. You've got all kinds of pastors that produce this material and get a lot of people watching when they give these speculative things. But if you are saying this is the beginning and this generation is going to see it, and you define what a generation is, you are predicting the coming of Jesus Christ, whether you want to admit it or not. You may not be predicting the day or the hour, but you're predicting the year or a close proximity. In Acts chapter 1, if what Jesus says isn't good enough, Acts chapter 1 tells us, if I can get to the passage, Acts chapter 1, In verse 6, the disciples ask, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority." So Jesus gave narrow categories, day and hour, but in Luke, Jesus is giving broad categories, the times or the seasons. In other words, Jesus is coming at a time we don't know when. We don't get any hints either. Now, I know that people are going to say, well, what about the signs of the times and all that? We don't have time to delve into all that, but that's a misunderstanding. And it's funny that usually people who believe are doing these end time speculations believe in a secret rapture. Yet there's all these hints before the secret rapture. So how's it really secret if you get all these hints and know it's coming and know it's close and all that kind of stuff? The Bible teaches as a whole that it's coming at a time we don't know when. We're to be ready, not in the sense that we have a chart to show the exact time of Jesus coming. We're to be ready in the sense that we're pursuing holiness and we're living a godly life, sharing the gospel, doing the things God has called us to do. That is how we prepare. That is how we're ready. Being ready does not mean you have your prophetic calendars worked out and expect Jesus on this certain date.
Correct. Yeah, I just think through those passages in Matthew when the Olivet Discourse and just the examples Jesus gives and how clearly what he's trying to tell the disciples before he leaves and then, like you said, gets reiterated in Acts is no one knows the season or the time, but what does he say is he talks about the parable of the talents and that we take what we have and we invest it. And then he condemns the one who takes the talent and buries it and goes off. And here's my two cents. That's the end time scouts. Because they're not cultivating what Jesus called them to do, which when you get to the end of Matthew 28, what's Jesus called us to do? Make disciples.
Right. And these guys, usually the things I've seen and the things I've heard people talk about, usually they'll say, well, I'm trying to tell people Jesus is coming so they'll repent and believe. It's not going to work when your predictions are all going to be wrong.
Right.
And you're actually making it worse because they're not going to, I don't know why, if Christians are more gullible or what's happening, but they're not going to look at your wrong predictions and get over that and just move on with their lives. These wrong predictions are going to turn people away from the gospel, not turn them to Christ. And your prediction is going to be wrong. Every single one. If you happen to be right, it's just blind chance. Because you said it enough that you actually got it right this time. But in all likelihood, your prediction is going to be wrong. And the rapture is not going to happen. The second coming is not going to happen on the timetable you said it was. And I've been hearing this stuff since I became a Christian in 1994. It always changes into something new when the world stage changes. They've never been right. You're not going to be right either.
Right.
35 years I've listened to this stuff, and it's the same thing every single time. And it's going to turn people from the gospel, not turn them to the gospel. And then even if they do repent and believe and they have enough brains to figure out that your predictions were wrong, what's that going to do to their faith? What kind of repairs are you going to have to make? What kind of counseling and help are you going to have to do to get these people to continue to follow Christ when your predictions become false? So this is a complete and utter distraction from the gospel. There is no reason to be speculating about in times. It's not beneficial for anyone. It's not beneficial for the person doing it. It's not beneficial for the people hearing it. It's going to be bad.
Yes. And, I mean, we can just expand into a little bit, your sentence a little bit more. I know we're talking specifically about end time speculation, but let me just expand this sentence to everybody who might not buy into end time speculation. Don't speculate. I mean, if we're honest, we find lots of things in Scripture we try to speculate about. And we're talking specifically about this one because it takes a foothold in evangelical culture. It's out there like crazy, and it causes all kinds of problems that Jeremy has all just laid out.
Stick to the Bible.
But stick to the Bible. Truth matters. Stick to the Bible. Stick to God's revealed will and His Word. That's what's important. And so don't speculate. You're going to be wrong. No one is that smart that you can figure out the mind of God. You're just not going to do it.
Because it's hidden.
Correct.
This is God's hidden will. You're not going to pry it out of His mind. You can't somehow get a mind reader up there to God. The only way that you could possibly know it is if God reveals it.
Right.
And He hasn't. And He's not going to. These are all things that we would have to talk longer about.
Correct.
But you get the main point.
Right.
So Acts chapter 1, verses 6 through 7, I already read. But listen again to what Jesus says. It's not for you to know the times or the season that the Father has fixed by His own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. The gospel, we're supposed to be gospel people. That's what we're supposed to be about. We should be proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, telling people that according to God's law, they're sinners, that according to God's word, Jesus saves sinners, and that those sinners who have been saved by the grace of God should faithfully and gratefully follow Jesus Christ because of what He's done for them. Yes, the Bible teaches that Jesus is coming again, and we ought to tell them about Jesus coming again. We can even warn unbelievers that there's a day that's coming. We don't know when, we don't know how, but we know that day is coming, and everyone will stand in judgment before God. And it won't go well with everyone. Those are things that have been clearly revealed in the Bible, and to preach them is good and helpful and beneficial. But to go beyond what is written in the Bible, to go beyond Scripture, is just going to bring more harm than good, and it's going to be a distraction from what we're supposed to be about. We're supposed to be about preaching the gospel to the nations. And so it would be much better if these folks who are spending their time reading books about end time speculation, watching YouTube videos about end time speculation, listening to sermons about end time speculation, buying videos, prepping their underground bunkers, whatever you may be doing as a result of your beliefs about the end time, it'd be much better if you pour your time and your financial resources into spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth. That's what we need to be doing with our time and our talent and our treasure so that the gospel can be made known around the earth. There are many, many people. And one of the things that just blows my mind, these people that write the books and give these videos are usually excited about Jesus returning. But, and we probably should be as Christians excited. But there seldom seems to be a concern that if Jesus comes tomorrow, that means a lot of my family and friends, people I work with, people all over the world are going to suffer extraordinarily. And we should take delight in our salvation, but at the same time mourn the judgment of many. And that ought to move us to the gospel, not speculation about the whys and the wherefores of Jesus returning. Pour your time into knowing the Bible, knowing the gospel. And I don't think you can go too deeply into these things. Buy good books that help you to understand the gospel in depth. That is a much better, more wholesome pursuit that will benefit you and benefit those to whom you are a witness to than pouring all your time into things like this that are going to be harmful, and ultimately you're going to be wrong.
Yeah. I just one last note as we come to the end is I think ultimately, if we're honest, not this isn't always true, but I think it's sadly more true than it should be. People who seek after end time speculations at the end of the day are very, very selfish because they're seeking it for their own acknowledgement, their own knowing. They're not seeking it for the reason of that it then becomes this catalyst and this motivator to spread the gospel, to speak the truth, to make disciples. It's more about now I know something you don't know. And that does no one any good because if I have the truth, which I do because the gospel is the truth, then I have a responsibility and the privilege to share that with everyone who God places in my path to share it with. Because it speaks to all of my life. So our encouragement to you, our admonition is spend time in the Word. Understand God's revealed will. Don't allow yourself to be caught up in speculations, whether it's end times or anything else that might catch your fancy. God has revealed His truth in His Word. So grab on, understand, know that, and then go and explain and spread that truth to all who God places in your path. Thank you for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, a podcast ministry of Two Rivers Community Church. For more information about Two Rivers, you can find it on our website at www.tworiverscc.org. We look forward to your questions, your comments, and even that dreaded hate mail at ordinaryfellowship@gmail.com. Follow us on Facebook and like, subscribe, and rate us on your podcast listening service. But for now, we thank you again for listening to this episode of Ordinary Fellowship, where we're striving to have spiritual conversations for practical Christian living.